The learning approaches is a broad title that covers both the behaviourist approaches and social learning theory. Social learning theory is separate to the behaviourist approach, so that comes under its own kind of title, and you'll be listening to a different audio clip for that. Whereas the behaviourist approach is what I'm going to be talking about on this audio clip about classical conditioning, but then also on the second audio clip on operant conditioning. So, just as an overall starting point, the behaviourist approach, the assumptions of this approach take this attitude. So behaviourists think that all of our human behaviour is learnt. So everything is learnt. We're not born with any innate abilities to do anything. Everything we must learn. And that's learnt through different experiences that we have. So that's the first assumption, that all behaviour is learnt through experiences. And in the same respect, behaviourists think that we are born what they call a tabula rasa, so a blank slate. We're born completely blank, ready to be written on. So we all come out exactly the same, and we're ready then to learn and from all of our different experiences. The behaviourist approach is quite a scientific way to approach behaviour. So they believe that we can only study things that we can see. So we must be able to observe something to be able to test it, especially to be able to test it scientifically. So behaviourists were the first to really want to scientifically experiment on things and look at different behaviours in that way. Compared with maybe the cognitive approach, which we'll come to later, which is looking at processes in the mind where we can't see those things. And behaviourists think that it is very valid to study animals, because animals share a lot of the same principles of learning behaviour that humans do. So in the same way that a cat or a dog might learn that it's dinner time, a human might have the same response. So in that respect, the behaviourist approach has four main assumptions. Human behaviour is learnt through experience. We are born a blank slate. That behaviour should be investigated scientifically, and observable behaviour is what we're looking at. And it is a valid thing, it is valid to study animals in order to come to those conclusions. Okay, so one of the main concepts in the behaviourist approach is the term classical conditioning. Now, this is a really important term and something that you need to understand well, because it comes up in lots of different topics, in attachment, approaches, and in psychopathology. So classical conditioning, on a really simple level, means learning by association. So what's happening is two things are getting paired together repeatedly, and then you begin to associate them together. So you come to learn that those two things go together. So maybe it's your alarm going off in the morning. You associate that noise with having to get up. So that's probably not a very positive association, but maybe sometimes you learn that a really nice smell means that there's going to be some good food coming. So it's about associating and learning through pairing things together. Now, two important terms that you need to know are stimulus and response. So this is when a stimulus is anything in the environment that might cause us to have a response. And a response, as you might imagine, is a behaviour that is triggered by that stimulus. So it's the action that comes from that stimulus in our environment. So in that way, classical conditioning is sometimes referred to as stimulus-response psychology. So I'm going to try and explain one of the really important and key studies for classical conditioning. And at the same time as explaining that piece of research, I'm going to bring in some new terms as well that hopefully you've come across in your prep, but that you might need a bit of reminding of. So the key piece of research to do with classical conditioning was Pavlov's research into dogs. So what Pavlov began to notice was that dogs tended to respond with dribbling when they saw a bowl of food. So in this case, the food is the stimulus and the salivating or the drooling is the response to that. So that's a very natural response for a dog to have in that situation. We feel the same when we see a big juicy burger or a really nice steak. We might get kind of salivation in anticipation of eating it. So that is an unconditioned stimulus. The food is something unconditioned. We haven't learned that. And the response is an unconditioned response. So it's not something we've learned. It's just a very natural reflex reaction. So we've got the unconditioned stimulus and the unconditioned response. Now, in the case of Pavlov's study, that was with food being the unconditioned stimulus and drooling being the unconditioned response. Now, what Pavlov realised was that when he introduced a bell every time he put the food down, the dogs began to associate the bell with the food and would therefore have the same response of dribbling. So initially, if you think about it, a dog probably had no reaction to a bell. So in the same way that we might not, if an alarm went off, we might not even notice it. Lots of things happening around us. So a bell actually starts in this case as something called a neutral stimulus. So it's neutral. It has no response. We don't have any natural response to it. And the dogs in this case had no natural response to the sound of a bell. But when Pavlov started putting the dog's food down and ringing a bell at the same time, the dog's response would be drooling. So now we've got a situation where the unconditioned stimulus of food is being paired with the sound of a bell, which starts as a neutral stimulus, and it's having the response of the dog's dribbling, which is the unconditioned response. So what Pavlov did was repeat that process over and over and over again. Every time he put the food down, he rang the bell. And what he began to notice was eventually the dogs had learnt to associate the bell with food. So what happened was he took the food away and just rang the bell and the dogs would have the same response to that. So by this stage, the dogs had learnt that the bell meant and the response was salivation. So what's happened is something that started as neutral has become conditioned. Or what we mean by conditioned is it's become learnt. So the dogs have learnt that the bell, the conditioned stimulus, leads to drooling, and therefore the drooling moves from being an unconditioned response, so something reflex and natural, to actually becoming something conditioned, something that they've learnt to respond like that when the bell rings. So I'm more than likely, if you've got pets, you know exactly how dogs and cats respond when they know it's dinner time. They hear the rustle of the packet, or they know which cupboard the food's in, or whatever it might be. Dogs and cats learn this all the time, and you will see it in real life. And they've learnt by classical conditioning that particular sound is related to food, and therefore you'll see them get excited and have a response to you opening that cupboard or you getting their bowl off the floor. They know what's coming. And that is the process of classical conditioning related to Pavlov's research. So key terms really that you need to remember: unconditioned stimulus, unconditioned response, neutral stimulus, conditioned stimulus, and conditioned response. And remember, classical conditioning is all about learning by associating two things together repeatedly. I hope that helps.